Welcome back, guys. DGS 405. We're out of here tonight at 4:30 to make room for the Cardinals pregame, and they're in Pittsburgh tonight, right?
That's right.
Got a preview for us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is going to be a tough series, man. Pittsburgh has won 8 of 10, so a little bit hot before the break, and then they just took 2 out of 3.
What's changed besides Skeens?
Well, their pitching's phenomenal, but the thing that's really changed is two of their best hitters have gotten hot in July. So Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz, the 6'7" shortstop, those two guys have been as hot in July as Alec Burleson, and Burleson's one of the hottest hitters in baseball. So they got two guys that are rolling, and back into their bullpen's really good. So you're facing Mitch Keller tonight, who's their established guy. He's very good, and he's young, like mid-20s, but he's very good. And he's going up against Pallante tonight, and then tomorrow is Skeens against Lance Lynn, which is...
Bit of a mismatch.
It's like, uh-oh, these two things are not like each other. Mm-hmm. But you know, and look, it's not really that. It's Pittsburgh hitters against Lynn and Cardinals hitters against Skeens. But it's tough haul. And then Wednesday looks like a bullpen game for the Cardinals. And lefty Martin Perez, who's beatable. He's very beatable. But it's a tough series, man. Pittsburgh's playing well. You got a couple of tough pitching matchups in the first two games. And, you know, a bullpen game on game three, which is always a challenge.
You had something on the Google Doc today about Arenado and Goldschmidt?
Yeah. So this is not meant to...
Oh, can I ask you something before you jump into it?
Yep.
The whole moving Goldschmidt to the seventh slot.
Yeah.
And see, we told you so. Look at it. He had a home run. Like, do you put much stock in that?
No. Your place in the lineup is not going to change that when you're a player of note, right? If you're like young player that teams aren't familiar with, a placement lower in the lineup might lower their guard a little bit, but not really anymore. That's probably, you know, mostly true in the past because everybody has reports on everybody, including players down in A-ball. No, it's more just about, and there are some people that will believe that you move someone down who's struggling and they relax. I don't believe it for a second. Paul Goldschmidt still wants to hit like Paul Goldschmidt. I don't think he's like now suddenly relaxed because he's hitting seventh. He got a good pitch and he hit it. Like, that's what happened. But what makes the most sense, though, is you want the most productive players at the moment at the top because they bat more often. That's why the best players hit up at the front, because you want them to hit the most often. And the guys that hit 1, 2, 3 hit a lot more than the guys that hit 6, 7, 8, 9. But especially 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. Over the course of a week, over the course of a month, over the course of a season, it can be 100 at-bats over a season.
Okay.
So mostly it's we want the hot hitters to bat more. That's why we move them up, and then we move guys that are struggling down. But then look at it. How dangerous does a lineup look when even a struggling Goldie is hitting 7th and Nolan Gorman's hitting 8th, and he's going to hit 30 home runs? Like, I think that that's kind of the play, right? When you have hot hitters, you want to put them as much as you can clustered near the top, and then you slide everybody else down accordingly. You know, so there are some old school beliefs that, you know, it can relax them. But I can promise you that Goldschmidt's standard is Paul Goldschmidt's standard. He's not thinking, well, I'm hitting 7th, I don't have to be as good. He's still thinking, I need to be what I am, right? That's how he's talking. And that kind of, actually, it's a good direction, Dave, because this is where I wanted to go with it anyway, is I appreciate Goldschmidt and Arenado and how they're handling this. Some veteran players do not handle getting moved down the lineup well at all. They fight it. They get mad about it. They pout about it. And in both of their cases, and especially, you know, Goldie, look, he's like, I'm hitting 7th because I'm not hitting well. That level of honesty is a great thing. It helps the clubhouse because now nobody has to walk around on eggshells. It helps a young manager like Ollie Marmol because you don't have to worry about, did I hurt the veterans' feelings? Is that going to mess with the lock of the clubhouse? And it just makes things so much better when a struggling player can simply say, what's happening to me is because of me. I know, like, worldwide, society-wide, that would be a wonderful thing, right? Like, when somebody does something, is not doing their job well, and they lose some privilege for it, if they could just acknowledge, yep, I didn't do my job well enough, I think everybody would be better off. And it's not that you want to pat them on the back and say, oh, well, that makes things better, because the expectation still needs to be that Goldie and Arenado need to be something close to Goldie and Arenado for the Cardinals to achieve their goals. For them to be a playoff team that can make a run, they need those two guys to be as close as they can be to their normal selves. This is not about a pat on the back and say, okay, buddy, good try. But this is a reality thing in sports. Veteran players like that have a lot of control over how a locker room in another sports, a clubhouse is what it's called in baseball, a lot about how that group interacts and how the managers and coaches get to do their jobs is impacted by how veteran players react to anything, and especially how they react to negativity. And if they put up a fight and they start to be a problem, that can spread. And I like seeing Goldschmidt say, because people ask him, you know, what do you think about being moved to 70? He's like, basically, that's what I deserve. You know, if he says, I should be hitting in the middle of the order, but that's up to me to do that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Some veterans don't do that. Some of them are like, they feel insulted if they get moved down,
sure.
Which is silly. You get moved down because your performance dictated
you're
hitting
like
you get
a
moved
seventh.
Down. Yeah. Right, right.
Today we're doing an Elite Eight instead of a Sweet 16 brought to you by Weber Chevrolet because we have a shortened amount of time. I can say this about Weber Chevrolet. Other than my Jeep, the last 10 vehicles I have purchased from Skip. I've purchased Broncos over on the east side. We have purchased tracks and trucks in Creve Coeur. All you need to know is how obsessed he is with their ratings that they get. And everything flows from there. Price flows from there. Service flows from there. Whether it's getting you a great price on a vehicle, giving you a great price on a trade-in, or taking care of you on service, they're going to do everything they possibly humanly can so that you give them 5 stars because it means the world and all to Skip. So there you go. Today is the Elite Eight of Olympians or Olympic teams. Doesn't have to be a U.S. Could be, you know, a Russian or a Chinese, whatever.
Yeah, if you're a communist.
Yeah, if you don't love America, that's what I'm saying. We also start with you.
There's just so many of them, so I'm going to go by favorites rather than establishing stars. But I'm going to go staying right in town. Jackie Joyner Kersee is one of the greatest Olympians in human history.
So true.
I mean,
local treasure.
Yeah, and also the coolest person ever.
She's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Rich.
Simone Biles, the GOAT.
Hard to argue with.
Yep.
I'm going old school. I'm going 1936, putting it right in Hitler's face, Jesse Owens.
That deserves so much credit.
So much.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, Jesse Owens.
Okay, thank you.
I mean,
he raced in front of Hitler.
In Berlin,
right when Hitler was doing the whole, like, Aryan race and white people are just genetically better than black people, and he just smoked everybody's ass.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Andrew. No, that's my pick. Andrew.
Oh. Yeah, I thought so. Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Fastest man ever.
Is he still the fastest man?
Yeah,
ever?
No one's beaten him.
His record is still the record, But I would say this.
And he slowed up at the end. Made me crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What were you going to say, Wilson?
I'd say that there's one that's more accomplished, and I'm going to name Carl Lewis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he may not be as fast as Bolt, but he won more events. I mean, this guy has had 9 gold medals plus a silver, and they weren't all in the 100.
You don't talk much about him.
No, it's been a while. Yeah. We did laugh about his national anthem last week, though.
I don't remember it.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
He sang the national anthem in an NBA game, and I think it was in the 90s, and his voice cracked in the middle of it. And as he did it, his voice cracked, and he paused for a second, and he went, uh-oh. Then he said, I'm going to make it up to you. And then he finished the song. It was pretty awful.
I'm going to go Michael Phelps.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got it.
Easy. Big one.
I will go Miracle on Ice hockey team.
Man, that's hard to argue against.
It's tough.
I mean, if we're counting teams, boy, that's mine. That's my GOAT.
And the final pick from Andrew.
How about Nadia Comaneci?
She was communist.
Yep.
But she was, you know, she was
She was a great communist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very famous.
Big time.
I'm doing my best with the spelling over here, people. Don't make fun of me.
I can't read any of this. Okay. Jackie Joyner Kersee versus Nadia Comaneci.
I'm an American.
JJK.
And a St. Louisan. So I pick Jackie.
Yeah. JJK, just for being so nice. Simone Biles versus the Miracle on Ice team.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah. Wow. I was sad.
USA.
Matching them together.
That's vicious.
Do you believe in miracles?
I'm going Simone.
I'll go Simone, too. This might be an age thing.
We're going to need the captain.
Well, I'm a big hockey player, worked at an ice rink, and 1980 I was in high school, and that was the biggest thing I can remember in my life as far as sports go. Yeah, no. Miracle on Ice.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were a hockey player, Captain.
Yeah, just, you know, off and on over the years. But yeah, I grew up skating and working at the ice rink, and that was a good time.
Phil Smart amazed you
working that way.
Very cool.
Huh?
Jesse Owens versus Michael Phelps.
Oh my God!
Michael Phelps won more.
He won nonstop. But Jesse Owens had to face down Nazis.
I gotta go Owens.
I'm going Jesse.
Well, we'll send it to the captain again.
Yeah, Jesse Owens. That's a big one.
The old guys are winning today.
Yeah. Usain Bolt versus Carl Lewis.
Wow.
I'm going to go Lewis. You make a good
more
point.
More accomplished.
I'll say Bolt.
Bolt.
Yeah, we're going to go old guys again. Carl right. Lewis. No, so that's we got to see if Raj goes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Lewis for me, too. Yeah, I agree.
Old guy day. Old guy. Of course, every day is old guy day, isn't it?
Kind of.
He's really celebrating this. It really seems to be meaningful to him.
I'm the oldest one here.
Are you?
Well, I'm 61 and a half.
Okay. You are.
Yeah, about, so. Ancient. My goodness.
Thanks, Boomer.
Roger, I turned 60 in September. How did 60 hit you?
You know what? I mean, it sounds really pathetic or stupid, but to me, I mean, you know, I don't have any maladies or anything. So, I mean, I don't really feel that different than I did when I was 30. Sure, I can't do some things, but mentally, I just feel I don't notice the age.
What I look forward to is being invisible again. When I was 50, it was a big deal, had a big party. And then 51 through 59 has been absolute invisibility. No one cares about you when you're in your 50s. No one cares about a 57-year-old. You're not old. You're not sexy. You're just 57. And 60 is a bigger deal. But then 61 through 69, I feel like it's going to be the same thing. It's like, oh, my dad's in his 60s. Who freaking cares? JJK versus some Miracle on Ice hockey team.
Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Gotta go hockey.
Hockey.
Hockey. Sorry, Jackie.
Jesse Owens versus Carl Lewis.
Okay. I gotta go Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse.
Yep.
There you go. Is it Miracle on Ice or is it Jesse Owens facing down the Nazis?
Oh, boy.
I'll go with Jesse.
They're very similar.
Yeah.
There's so much politics for both of them.
That's what I mean. That's what made the stories even greater. I mean, they were great performers. I'm going to go Jesse because he individually was greater at his sport than the Miracle on Ice players were. That was about one game pulling off the biggest upset ever. Obviously, they had to win the gold medal after that. But Jesse Owens was the best in the world and maybe one of the greats of all time when you grade on the time scale.
I'll say Miracle just to keep it interesting.
I would love to give it to the captain, but I got to go with Jesse. I just think it's one of the most amazing human feats of all time that really was impactful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Captain. We appreciate it.
Sure.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
423 DGS. Going to break at 4:30. When we come back, it'll be the Cardinals pregame, followed by the Cardinals' first game with Pittsburgh. Survey says that 14% of people don't know what their favorite dip is.
They don't know.
I don't know.
Dip.
I'm in the 14%.
You don't know what your favorite dip?
No.
What pops to mind when someone asks you that?
Maybe that bread thing that you put the dill in and then you tear the bread off just because it's so tactile.
Mm-hmm.
I like tearing bread.
You know what I love is just a good old-fashioned Prairie Farms French onion dip with some
wavy
Lays. Ugh, it's so good.
I'm all about the queso.
I like queso, too. Queso's I like a the lot best of dips, dip. Man.
Yeah.
Now for the king.
like a queso and chili... Kind of chili cheese.
Like
dip.
A Fundido kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Fundido's that.
Yeah, Spino's Fundido would be my favorite.
Yeah.
There you go. You do have a favorite dip.
See?
What got me, though, was that 10%, their favorite dip is Thousand Island dressing.
It's pretty good.
Just that?
I put it on burgers, veggies. Oh, it's good.
Well, yeah, but that's a condiment. That's not a dip.
It depends on
where you grew up.
Yeah, say, how do you handle it? If you're dipping a carrot into it, it's a dip.
Yeah, is ranch a dip or is ranch a condiment?
I would think ranch would be on the list.
You don't like ranch?
Oh no, I love ranch. Of course I do. I don't know if I would dip in Thousand Island. I don't know.
Oh, it's good, dude. I had my burger with that last night.
Being an Alton boy.
Yeah, ranch ranch I like.
Not to keep dwelling on the dips, but does it say what the most popular dip was?
Let's see here. I think it did.
Probably some seven-layer nonsense.
Gotta be ranch.
I don't like a seven-layer. I'm with you, Wheels. Yeah. It's not.
Salsa.
Oh, well, that's a good one.
All right.
Yeah. Yep. Salsa don't count.
Would you like to hear, according to USA Today, millions of votes, the top 10 fast foods?
Yes.
Yep.
It's gonna I said that way too excitedly.
Shock you. Yeah. Number 10, Arby's.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 9, Zaxby's.
Yeah, it's good. Have you had Zaxby's?
No, I've heard about it from Nick, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Number 8, Popeyes.
Yum.
Solid.
Number 7, The Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, too low.
Number 6, Captain D's.
Above the bell?
Above the bell. That's not bad, but it should be down a couple.
Number 5, Rachel's hard pick, Hardee's.
Yeah, I just had Hardee's yesterday, and it was the bomb.
Number 4, In-N-Out Burger.
Pretty good, man. Those are really
In-N-Out,
good.
You can't. I don't feel like you can put In-N-Out on there because it's like...
It's so
it's
Western.
It's like Whataburger. It's in like 4 states.
Yeah. Like, it's still good, though, man. It's really good.
Number 3, Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Yep.
Number 2, KFC. Take that in your mark scores.
Above Chick-fil-A.
That's shocking.
Jeez. That's wrong.
Number 1, any guesses?
McDonald's.
Nope.
It didn't make the top 10.
Is it Burger King?
The With King's 600 back. Locations in 18 states, mostly focused in the West, Del Taco.
Del Taco's pretty good.
I saw this.
Del Never Taco had it is good, man. See, the thing that we forget is all of those Western chains, there's a bazillion people out West.
Yeah.
All those Californians and Texans.
I can't believe Captain D's made the top 10. I mean, nothing against Captain D's, but it's in the top 10
Do you
above
guys
McDonald's.
See a That's difference shocking. Between the Captain and Long John Silver?
I don't.
I know someone who rides hard for Long John Silver's.
Yeah?
I haven't had it in probably 25 years. No.
That'd have been fun. Yeah. Make fun of Kurt for that.
Yeah, it's pretty good, though. I would say this. If I have to choose between them, like they're sitting next to each other, Captain D's and McDonald's, I'd probably choose Captain D's.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
I would choose
McDonald's.
What if it
was Captain D's and the Silver?
I don't know.
Something about Long John.
Yeah, they're about
is a hard pick.
They're about the same, I guess. Yeah. Whatever one had the better deal going, maybe.
Long John Silver is very expensive.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
He said with authority.
Sure did.
That's maybe why.
And a Snagglepuss flair.
Maybe that was why it's not on there because it's considered fine dining.
Have you guys heard of Fluffy Coke?
Fluffy
I have
Coke.
With the marshmallow fluff.
Yeah. That sounds awful.
It's an iced Coke with marshmallow fluff.
I would drink that.
Nope. Sure. Hard pass.
Ooh, a frozen Coke sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
That was the ultimate. Usually I didn't get it unless my dad had been mean to me. But, like, if my dad had been extra mean and we'd go to Kmart and they had the Icy's.
Cherry and Coke is all you had, right?
That's right.
Did you ever mix them?
Oh, are you kidding me?
That was the best.
No.
You don't have to tell him, brother.
You kidding me? I'm the first one to think about that. I hadn't even considered it until this very
moment.
You
probably mixed those before I even had one.
Is it an old thing?
No. Well, yeah, you are, but no.
I'm a little sensitive turning 60.
Yeah. Kevin's flying a little close to the sun here.
Everything's pretty.
Hey, I'm going to be there. It's not like I'm like pretending I'm going to be a kid forever.
You will be a kid forever. Are
you
kidding
me? That's not true.
Psychologically.
You're going to be exactly the same at 75.
Just have a limp.
At 75, Wheels is going to be like, the new NFL's game's out.
Let's go!